want to share a message today titled, How to Thrive, Not Just Survive. How many of you all believe God wants us to thrive? Instead of saying, because I know I've said this before at times, when somebody asks, how are you doing? I've said, well, I'm surviving. How many of you all have said that? Well, I'm surviving. Well, let's take it the next step and say, when they say, how are you doing? Say, I'm thriving. I'm thriving. Thank the Lord, I'm thriving. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, New Testament book written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How to thrive, not just survive. We just finished last week, the year 2023. We were here on the last day, talking about the last day of time. When Jesus comes again, where will we be? What shape will we be in? Where would we live for eternity? And today, as we turn the page to a new year, we can look back and think about the year that 2023 was. Was last year bad? Was last year mediocre? Was last year a good year? Was last year a challenging year? Did you have hopes, dreams, and aspirations that you intended to achieve or to come true that were crushed? Disappointments came, maybe because of the past year and the things that transpired and the things of your life. Are you having trouble expecting a good year in 2024? I believe as children of God, this New Year's suggestion is always appropriate. What Paul wrote to the Philippians in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, verse 13, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Whatever last year held, it's in the past. Can't be undone, can't do it over. But let's reach forward to those things that lie ahead. Anticipate God to do great things. God has made us to thrive as children of God, not just survive. I remember a Casting Crowns song years ago, I don't know, 10 years or more ago, that was called Thrive. And in that song, they said this, we're made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. So let's thrive in this new year. Jesus himself said, and we need to remind ourselves of this time and time again. In John 10:10, he said, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God has an abundant life for us. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. A rich life, a full life. He came that we may thrive. He gives us abundant forgiveness for our sins and our failures. Where sin abounded, the Bible says grace much more abounded to overcome our past, our sins, no matter how high they were. The grace of God overcomes that. He forgives us and cleanses us. His forgiveness and grace is abundant. And He gives us abundant power for a great future. We need to live with eternity in view, not just the year ahead, but all of eternity. Live with the end goal in mind, to live with Jesus and be with Him in heaven forever. Know this, that the Christian's future is always better than his past. The sinner's future is always worse than his past. But the Christian's future is always better. God has better things for us in store in the future. And we need to keep our eyes on the goal. Remember Hebrews 12:2 that says that we should look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured that cross. So because of the joy that is set before us of seeing Jesus and being with him forever and ever, he gives us the strength to endure whatever comes our way, to not just survive, but to thrive even through the difficult times. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So I want us to look today at five things that we can apply to our lives every day in this new year that will make this our greatest year, that will teach us how to thrive instead of just survive. Five daily disciplines that we need to live through. The first one is to rise thankfully in the morning. Rise thankfully. Look back at verse 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Thanksgiving, it's not just a holiday. It's not just one day that we get to eat a special meal. It is an attitude. It is a constant appreciation and thankfulness for everything that God has done for us, for all the good that's in our life, even for the trials that come through in our life that make us stronger. We need to be thankful. We need to rise each morning, wake up each morning with thankfulness on our heart. Do you say when you wake up in the morning, "Good morning, Lord," or do you say, "Good Lord, it's morning"? Listen, I know that some people are not morning people. I am not a morning person by nature myself. But we should rise each day, whatever time it is. We need to rise thankfully. Start each day giving thanks. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Morning by morning, new mercies we see. Let's rise thankfully. What can we be thankful for? Well, we probably could pay special attention to giving thanks for the things that we take for granted that we don't even think about. Life and breath and all the things that we have. Be thankful that you are alive, that you have a roof over your head, that you're not sleeping under a bridge somewhere out in the cold. Be thankful that you have food to eat and clothes to wear. It's a song called "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me." And in that song it says, "There's a roof up above me, a good place to sleep, food on my table and shoes on my feet. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Verse 11 and 12 of this chapter that we looked at in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So be thankful when you have plenty, and be thankful even when you have little, to be content, whether rich or poor. Rise thankfully. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" That's what drives the motivation and the daily activities of the whole world, those that don't know God, is what am I going to eat? As soon as we finish one meal, what are we having for supper? Constantly thinking about the flesh. What am I going to wear? I'm worried about everything. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about things. In verse 33 of Matthew 6, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about those things. Be thankful every day. Give thanks for salvation. If we're children of God, if we've been saved by the blood of Christ, be thankful. Jesus told His apostles, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Be thankful for salvation. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. Have you thanked God for that gift of salvation? It should be a regular thing. And give thanks for the privilege of prayer. The ability to go before the Lord day or night. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always ready to hear our requests. Be thankful. Speaking of prayer, that leads us to the second thing we should practice daily is pray expectantly. Pray expectantly. We saw there in verse 6 that he talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray, but not just pray, pray expectantly. Worry about nothing and pray about everything, expecting answers. God is able to answer our prayers, is He not? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He is able to answer our prayers. Jeremiah 33 says this, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. But you know what is required in order to have our prayers answered? Faith. Faith. We talked about faith extensively in Sunday school this morning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's by faith that we live. We walk by faith and not by sight. We must have faith. That Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must have faith. Faith is required to have our prayers answered. Where does faith come from? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God increases our faith. Hearing the stories about the saints of old and looking at the lives of people that we know that are living faithfully, we see how God blesses and our faith grows. So faith is required to have our prayers answered. We have one of two choices. We can pray and believe and receive, or we can pray and doubt and go without. We can pray and believe and receive, or we can pray and doubt and go without. Jesus in Matthew 21 said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. But James tells us in chapter 1, when we come to God, it says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we need to pray expectantly through faith. When he mentioned there that double-minded man, being double-minded refers to those who want God's blessings, but at the same time want sin's pleasures as well. And it's never going to work. Never going to work. If we regard iniquity in our heart or sin in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Sinful living will keep our prayers from being answered. Isaiah 59 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We can't live in intentional sin and expect God to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. We need to repent and live according to God's will in order to have our prayers answered. So turn away from sin. believe God, then pray expectantly. So rise thankfully, pray expectantly, and the third thing, speak kindly. How often do we speak in a hateful way, in an unkind way to people, maybe especially our family? They're the ones that get the worst end of our conversation sometimes, aren't they? Verse 8, let's read that again. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see, what we say reveals what we have on our minds. That's why Paul went to great length there, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to say, think about all these things. He listed several different things there. Anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Because Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on our mind, what's in our heart, is what comes out of our mouth. That's what we confess. So what are we thinking about? What are we meditating on? What are we focusing on? Keep this in mind. Speak kindly to others, but also speak kindly about others. So many times people will be all nice to our face, but behind our back say bad things about us. We need to make sure that not only are we speaking kindly to people, but when we speak about those people, let's speak kindly about them also. What's the old saying? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. That's good advice. My dad used to say, there's a little bit of bad in the best of us, and there's a little bit of good in the worst of us. And it behooves none of us to talk about the rest of us. Speak kindly. The Apostle Paul gives us a cure for complaining and critical tongues. It's easy to be a complainer, isn't it? And to criticize and to put others down. But he says he teaches us to think positively about people, to focus on virtue and praise, to focus on the good qualities that are in a person. Refuse to focus on the faults of others. Anybody can do that. You could pick me apart by pointing out all my faults. Please don't do that. And I could do you the same way. But what profit is there in that? There's nothing. Speak kindly about others. Focus on their good, not their bad. And don't build yourself up like so many people do by tearing other people down. Some people build themselves up by tearing other people down. And I always remember this. To belittle is to be little. Belittling other people means you're a small person. Be big in the sight of God. Speak kindly about others. Speak kindly to others. The old story that, the old saying that we used to hear when I was a child, I can remember being on the school bus saying this before when I was just a young kid. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Did you all say that? That's not true. It is not true at all. Perhaps the biggest wounds that we can have is through words. We can recover much easier most of the time from physical wounds, a slap in the face or a cut or a bruise or whatever, easier than we can recover from those emotional wounds. There's no doubt that words can hurt. There's only one letter difference between words and swords. So our words can build others up and speak kindly about them, or we can put an S in front of it and turn it into a sword and cut people down. Be careful. Speak kindly. Abraham Lincoln said this. I used to think my dad invented this phrase until I found out that Abraham Lincoln spoke this as well. He said, if you want to kill your enemies, kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness. Speak kindly. Fourth thing, forgive quickly. We're going to flip over to the next book, Colossians. Look at some verses there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Let's read that. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgiveness. Forgive quickly. Forgiveness is a call to Christian love, which is the highest of all qualities that should define any believer in Christ, as love. It's a call to Christian love. Mercy and kindness and humility and long-suffering were mentioned there. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Some people have a very difficult time with forgiveness. They harbor resentment and bitterness in their hearts and in their minds toward other people for what they did or what they didn't do. And it eats away inside of us when we harbor that. The Bible says, do not let a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. It is no good. Be quick to forgive. Forgive as Christ forgave you, which is the key to true forgiveness. I'm glad today that God, when He forgives, He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And He wants us to be the same way, to forgive and to forget. Two little boys had fought with each other one time. They got into a heated argument. But the next morning, Johnny took his cap and headed for Bobby's house again. One of his family members in the house said, oh, I thought you and Bobby had fell out. You fought so hard. Said, you're going to play with him again? I thought you said you were never going to have anything to do with him ever again. And Johnny thought for a minute, he didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden he came to this thought in his mind. He said, oh, Bobby and me, we're good forgetters. They forget quickly. We need to have a childlike faith like that, don't we? We may have a disagreement, we may have an argument. But don't let the sun go down on our wrath while we're still angry. Be quick to forgive. Forgive and forget. I remember when we were building this building, we were running up against the clock trying to get everything done before a certain time. And I was doing most of the wiring in here. And I had overlooked something. It was the exit lights. Not these exit lights on the inside, but exit lights on the outside. That if the power goes out and we have to evacuate the building in the dark, we want to have light shining on the outside so that we wouldn't stumble and fall. And the one that was overseeing the building, that was part of our congregation at the time, named Rusty, he pointed that out to me. And I was right here in this room working on some of these lights. Said, we've got to put those exit lights in outside. And I tried to argue with him. No, we don't need those. Those are not essential. They're not important. We can do without them. I was tired. I was worn out. And I spoke a harsh word to him. And I could feel that bitterness and that resentment building up in me. And Rusty just went downstairs and started working on whatever things he was working on. And I was up here just steaming like, I'm just going to do what I think's right. I ain't paying no attention to that. And I could feel this animosity building up in my heart between me and him. And I thought, what am I going to do? Am I going to practice what I preach? God gave me the grace to immediately, within a minute or two, to go downstairs and apologize to Rusty. I'm sorry, Rusty. I was wrong, you're right, we need to do that, will you forgive me? And we forgave, and we forgot, and we went on. That's the way we need to be. Sometimes it's hard, maybe a lot of times it's hard. And we need to depend upon God to give us the grace to do that. So forgive quickly. And the last thing is to work worshipfully. You ever thought about while you're working, your job, whatever your responsibilities are, to worship while you work? So we're still in Colossians 3, look at verses 17 and then 22 and 23. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 22 and 23 says, "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Work worshipfully, serving God in your work. Bring every area of life into the arena of worship. Whatever we find our hand to do, worship the Lord through that. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't separate the sacred from the secular. Don't say, "Well, church and serving God is part of my life, but the workplace is a separate part of my life." No, it's all sacred. Serve God in the midst of all of it. Whatever we put our hand to, honor God in that work. Be on time. Be dependable. Be helpful to your co-workers. Be honest. Tell the truth. Work hard. Do good work. Because it's not men that we're working for. It's the Lord that we're working for. Do it heartily. Honor your boss whether they deserve it or not. That's hard to do sometimes. I had a terrible boss for a long time. And I wanted to quit so many times because of him. And I didn't. Finally, he was moved out. Let's just say it that way. But we still have to honor them, even if they don't deserve it, even if they're disrespectful and they couldn't care less about doing the right thing, we still honor that position. We respect that position, whether they deserve it or not, because it's the Lord we're serving. Now, I want you to think about two characters in the Old Testament, two of my favorite characters in the Old Testament, about the circumstances they were in. Joseph in the Old Testament. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. He was left in prison for much longer than he was supposed to be. Finally, when he got out, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and saved the nation from starvation. He was serving Pharaoh, and he did it so well that he was elevated to second in command, only to Pharaoh. You might say he was the prime minister of Egypt, and he was able to save his family from famine. That's how they got into Egypt. But think about who he was working for. Pharaoh. A godless man or a pagan man that wanted nothing to do with the God that Joseph served. And a wicked culture, and probably a lot of his co-workers were just vile men. But he served faithfully. He honored and respected that position that was over him. And the second person is Daniel. Daniel was one of the Jews that was taken into captivity in Babylon, and while he was there in Babylon, he found himself working for, of all people, the wicked King Nebuchadnezzar. Terrible, terrible, evil, wicked man. Yet Daniel still honored that position in such a way that Daniel ended up being elevated because he was faithful. So sometimes our bosses, they don't deserve respect. They're not worthy of respect, but we give it anyway. And we can work worshipfully even in those circumstances because we have examples of men who did that. So to wrap it all up, when someone says, "Give me five," you can share with them these five keys to thriving. Rise thankfully, pray expectantly, speak kindly, forgive quickly, and work worshipfully. By the grace of God, we can do that. So we want to close the service with a hymn of invitation. If you have anything on your heart that you would like to pray about, let's stand together as we pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the simplicity of it, Lord. It may be simple, but sometimes it's hard to live out. And God, we just pray that you'll help us to take these five keys to daily life, to thrive in this new year, and apply them and do them every day to where they become automatic and we don't even have to think about them, to develop new habits. Lord, help us to be spiritually minded instead of carnally minded and to fulfill your will in our lives. Lord, just crown this service with victory. May we all leave here rejoicing, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.